and it's just going to be basically on your career and what you did and some of your feelings.
Are you writing a book or something?
No, I write. I do interviews for a publication called Sports Collector's Digest. It's published weekly. It's mainly aimed at baseball card and baseball memorabilia collectors, but it's got other articles in it occasionally, and usually an interview or two a week, and I usually have three or four interviews in a month.
Okay.
One side effect of this, which you may not, I need to tell you before, your fan mail will increase as a result of this for a period of three or four weeks.
Okay.
Some people find that irritating and some enjoy it.
No, I've been getting that for 30 years or so.
A few more.
A lot of guys charge. I don't charge anything.
That's good. I don't understand why somebody charged.
Well, a lot of them won't sign them when they send in cards.
Yeah, that's...
They want $5 donated to a charity. And Early Wind has got a charity that he sponsors, and so a lot of guys will just send the money to him.
Well, that's good. The charities, that's a good cause.
Right.
Because some of these guys that just want to pocket the money or just pitch the cards and they get them, that's not right.
I know we've got a couple of guys that are coming up here next week. They have all the superstars coming here to Rochester. I've never been invited yet. You know, they get $7, $10, $15 an autograph.
Yeah, isn't that silly? These guys have got to be getting several thousand dollars to make the appearance.
Yeah, I know. It's a pretty easy way of making a living or supplement your income for, you know, two or three hours.
Yeah, do one a month and you're in good shape.
Right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. Let me ask you first. In some references, you were born in 1921, and some you were born in 1920.
1920.
Okay.
Always cheated a couple of years.
Okay, you gotta fudge a little bit. You were not the youngest ball player ever to sign a professional contract. Were you in World War II?
Right.
Okay, so that just postponed the start of your career.
Right, 3 years.
Did you play ball in the service?
No.
Did you play college ball?
Right.
Okay, you went to school at two colleges, is that right?
I went to Bucknell University.
Okay, I thought somewhere along the line I saw two.
The Yankees were sending me to school.
Oh, well, that's a pretty good deal.
Right.
You originally signed with the Yankees.
Right.
And they were, as well as I remember, in reading back then, I was a little kid at the time, delivery, and that's why you didn't progress as rapidly as it didn't progress with the Yankees. Is that correct?
No, I didn't have an unorthodox. I threw more like an infielder. I was a short armer, all right.
Uh huh.
Instead of the great big long arm extension, because I always wanted to be an infielder. If I hadn't gone to service, I'd have gone out for third base.
I see.
The only reason I signed with the Yankees, they signed me as a pitcher, all right.
Yeah.
But I only to. I just wanted to get money to go to college. So I only pitched one game in college, and I played third base and shortstop the rest of the time.
No kidding.
As long as I got the money. Then after I graduated, then I was going to try out for third base because I didn't really never cared about pitching anyway.
Uh-huh. Well, you made a good living at it. How'd the White Sox get you?
White Sox bought me from Syracuse.
Okay,
I won 20 and lost 11.
You were, I guess, I don't know if they gave Pitcher of the Year awards then, but you had to be the Pitcher of the Year.
Right, nobody's won 20 at Syracuse since then. I don't know if anybody's won 20 games in the International League since 1952.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Minor league 20-game winners may be extinct.
In fact, when I wound up my career, I won 18 games here in Rochester, and I don't think anybody's... Well, nobody here in Rochester has won 18 games since then.
What year was that you finished up?
That was 59.
So you went from Chicago back to Rochester to play?
Right, because that's the only place I'd play. And, of course, at that time, the expansion hadn't taken place. If it had, I might have got another shot, another year in or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I was an old man then. I was 39 years old.
Well, you were 32 as a rookie.
Right.
That's one of the older rookies.
Right.
Today, unfortunately, you probably wouldn't have gotten a chance.
Probably not.
Kid gets to
get to the big leagues much easier nowadays. Tougher to get started in baseball because they want to look at you and they got to make up there and can this kid go all the way?
Yeah.
years ago they just signed a lot of guys with the stock farm clubs and everything, and some of them made them, some didn't. But here you can win three or four games here in Rochester and go to the big leagues.
Yeah.
They're short on pitching, I guess, all over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at all levels, it seems like. You had your second year, 1954, you had a heck of a good year, 16-9, 309 ERA.
Hit over 300, too.
Did you?
Right.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, you were a good hitting pitcher, as I remember.
Well, I'd kind of punch at and get my single.
Yeah. Well, that's impressive. So you did it all.
Right.
What do you remember about that 54 season?
What do I remember? Most of my pitch in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Got bombed.
Yeah, well, you gave up one bad pitch.
And I was 12-2, I think, at the All-Star game.
Wow.
Then I pulled a leg muscle in, I think it was early August, and that slowed me down. And I didn't pitch too much after that.
You came back with a knee injury in 55, right?
No. I had a bone spur.
Oh.
On my, I don't know if it was my right or left heel.
Okay, not kidding.
That was spring training. Could hardly walk on that. And after about 2 months of the season, that kind of got straightened away, and then it was kind of tough, you know, working back in and getting straightened away again.
Did they operate?
No.
Okay, just
it finally dissolved itself.
Oh, okay.
Never had a problem since.
How are you doing? It sure cost you that season, or most of that season.
I have it during the baseball season.
Yeah, that's pretty poor timing. Yeah. Well, you bounced back. Was it 57? You won 10 games?
10-8.
Yeah, was that the year you threw the no-hitter?
Yeah.
Who was that against? That was Washington, right?
Washington.
Was that your best game? I thought it was the best on paper, but was that...
I don't think so. I pitched a lot other good. I think that was... I don't know if they beat Boston that year, and 2-1 was a good game I pitched. I thought I... No, that wasn't that year. That's when Richards was there.
Mm-hmm.
When we lost Richards, that was a big blow to pitchers on our club. He was a good handler of pitchers.
A heck of a good one.
Probably one of the, well, the best manager I ever played for, and probably one of the better managers to come along in baseball. He was kind of ahead of his time.
Yes. Well, everywhere he went, the pitching staff's improved.
Right. Well, he went to Baltimore, and a lot of the big stars that came along there, Boob Powell and a lot of those guys, I think he was instrumental in signing them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did a good job. He did
right.
It for years. Pardon?
You're right.
Who, in the time you spent in the majors, who was the best hitter you think you saw?
Ted Williams.
Okay, that's a pretty easy question.
Right.
Who was the best overall player?
Mickey Mantle.
Okay, that's a pretty easy question, too.
You know, American League.
Yeah.
Willie Mays was a complete ball player, but I didn't see that much of him. He's in the other league.
Was there a team that you were particularly successful against?
Boston, Detroit.
Consistently?
I think I was at 500 against the Yankees. I think I only started about four games, and I beat them twice.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But I always pitched against Boston. When you go into Boston, usually first, so I always pitch well against them in their park, so they always save me for Boston. And we went into New York, you know, after a three- or four-game series, and they had... They'd save Billy Pierce or the left-handers for the Yankees.
Your nickname, Smiley.
I was squinting.
Pardon?
I was squinting.
Squinting?
I wasn't smiling. I was gritting my teeth.
Who gave you that?
I don't know who the heck gave me that.
I've heard two stories. I heard one.
I don't know whether Dizzy Dean, I know he mentioned that on TV a couple of times. Look at the silly jerk. He's smiling. You know. No, that was no smile. It looked like a smile, but I was gritting my teeth.
Bearing down.
Right.
Who was the best pitcher you saw?
Herb Score.
Yeah, that was sad, wasn't it? Without the injury, without getting hit in the head, do you think he'd have continued?
Oh, yeah. He had a real live fastball. You know, Whitey Ford, those guys couldn't compare with him.
Well, at the time, now a lot of people... recently have said that Score wasn't that Great, because he was only considered to be the third best left-hander behind Ford and Pierce.
Pierce was good, but Pierce didn't have a lot of fastball.
Uh-huh.
And Ford's fastball wasn't fast, and he was a better pitcher than the other two, all right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as spotting the ball and things like that. But as far as the natural stuff, I thought Herb's score was number one. At least I batted against him. I couldn't hit the ball.
There were several others.
Tougher guys, of course, I faced, who was all through was Bob Feller.
Uh-huh.
With his windup and delivery, I couldn't see the ball.
And he was at the tail end then, wasn't he?
Right. So I can just imagine how tough he was to hit against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine.
Couldn't see the ball with his windup and the way he threw the glove and everything else.
And he had a heck of a curve, too, didn't
right.
he?
Right.
Well, yeah, that must have been something in his day. Okay, you mentioned the All-Star game. You got clobbered. You really didn't get clobbered. You threw a pitch to Bell. What do you remember about that?
I threw a pitch to who?
Gus Bell. Didn't he hit you out? Wasn't it Bell?
I don't remember who the heck it was. I know there was a fly ball in back in right field that dropped in there. First base, it should have been a out, and the fly ball went to center field, and Mickey Mantle screwed it up.
Yeah.
And then I think I walked a guy. Anyway, I think I struck out Campanella.
That's pretty good. I remember the game on television.
Do you?
I remember, yeah. You were one of my favorite players, and I always tried to pay special attention to the guys I was partial to. I was 13 years old then.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure it was Gus Bell. I could have looked that up. I should have, but I'm pretty sure it was him.
I was in the game, but I don't remember, to tell you the truth. I'm getting too old to go back. I never reminisce too much. I enjoyed what I was doing. It was something I always wanted to do, but I don't look back with any animosity against anybody that I was better than them, didn't get the breaks or anything like that.
Oh, life's too short for that.
Right.
Did you save souvenirs from your career?
A few. I got a bat from the All-Star game. I got a bronze glove that I used to when I pitched the no-hitter.
Oh, that's a good one. Do you have your baseball cards?
Do I? Yeah, I got a few.
Okay. What do you think of the baseball card hobby in general?
What do I think of the baseball hobby now?
Yeah, baseball card collectors and that sort of stuff. We've talked about it a little earlier, but what's your opinion?
Well, I don't know. It's good for the kids. It gives them interest to follow the ball players and whatnot. It's gotten to be big business here.
Yeah.
And incidentally, Cy Berger from Topps and I went to Bucknell together.
I'm not kidding.
So, in fact, my son had all those cards way back in the 50s, and he threw them away, never realizing they'd be worth a lot of money.
Well, he could retire.
Cy Berger always sent us a complete set.
Oh, that was nice.
In fact, I see Cy Berger. I talked to him on the phone a couple times a month, and I usually see him in Florida. This year was a little bit short because of the strike, and he was down for a few days.
Uh-huh.
So he and I went to Bucknell together. We were in the same class. And he was the, what did they call him? Not the business manager.
The equipment manager?
No, the guy that he was the sports editor of the Bucknellian.
Oh, yeah.
So he used to write me up pretty good.
Well, that's good.
It's always good to have connections, you know, yeah. The right people.
Yeah, public relations always helps
right.
in anything.
Right.
You mentioned that you sign autographs. Do you get a lot of fan mail now compared to when you played?
Well, I get, I don't know, I must at least three or four or five, something like that, a month.
Okay, that's pretty good. Well, that'll probably...
I didn't realize that I was such a great pitcher. You know, these guys are all telling you how good you were.
Well, today a 16-game winner is going to make $2 million.
You get an autograph anyway, you know, but it's good for your ego.
Oh, sure. It never hurts to say anything nice
right.
about somebody. What did you do when you were... You were last year with the White Sox, was 58, and you were there just for a short time. Is that when you went to Rochester?
No, I went to Indianapolis. I was with the White Sox up into August.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't start me. I didn't start a ball game.
Wow.
I pitched 25 innings. That's the only thing that I'm mad about in my career, you know.
The last year?
I had a winning year, and the next year I can't even start.
Yeah, you came off a good year.
But that winter we got early wind from Cleveland, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of replaced me. Not too bad a guy to be replaced.
No, if you're going to be replaced, the Hall of Famers are good to do it.
But I thought I deserved a chance to start, you know.
Well, sure. Yeah, you know, coming on, you were the third starter of the previous year, is that right?
I was about fourth.
Were you?
You know. But anyway, early wind could go out and get knocked out 10 times in a row, and he'd still start, all right?
Oh, yeah.
If I went out and got knocked out, that would have been it, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
So all managers have their pets.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Pierce was Paul Richards' pet, and early win was Al Lopez's pet.
Let me ask you a question about Billy Pierce. A lot of people say that he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Good. He won over 200 ball games.
You think he belongs?
Yep.
He was good. He was good for a long time, too. For, right. What, 15 years he must have been at peak form.
I think he's won as many games as Ford, or close enough to it.
Yeah, in the same ballpark. He's won more than guys like Drysdale.
Right.
Yeah, that's a shame.
He had good, and a real gentleman, a real credit to the game, one of the nicest guys, cleanest living gentleman I ever met.
If he'd have played in New York, he'd have been in there a long time ago.
You know, he'd made it, sure.
Yeah, that's a shame. What did you do when you retired?
I worked for I finally wound up working for Warner Lambert, the Listerine people, pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
We had a small plant in Rochester. They bought American Optical. I originally went to work for a company called Archer Manufacturing. We made optical chairs and stands.
Mm-hmm.
They did all their business with American Optical. They just turned what we made over to them, and there was no sales or anything. They just turned the product and American Optical merchandise, the equipment. And then Warner Lambert bought out American Optical. So I'm on a Warner Lambert pension. I was the purchasing agent and assistant plant manager. We had a plant here, about 130 people.
Mm-hmm. You did that from retirement until retirement?
2 years, right.
Yeah. Okay. Question I meant to ask you a little while back, and I went by it. Your best pitches, what did you throw?
Fastball, hard slider.
Okay, you got
curveball, which wasn't all that great. I lost it. I don't know what happened to it. When I first went to the big leagues, I had a pretty good curveball.
Something to show them, anyhow.
Maybe I threw too many sliders.
Well, a good slider can get by an awful lot of batters.
Well, it's easier to get over.
Yeah.
Breaking ball, easier to get over than a curveball.
I've got an 18-year-old son that would kill to play professional ball. He's a senior in high school now. We've been trying to teach him a slider, and he can't do it. I think he could do it.
He could probably do it. Maybe he isn't getting the right instructions.
That may be. He's left-handed and I'm right-handed, and it's kind of hard to relate.
I wished I was left-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got an advantage being left-handed.
Yeah, that's one thing we've told him. But he loves the game. Okay, one last question, Bob. Would you, going back, obviously World War II is going to be there regardless, but would you do it all again? Would you play ball?
Yeah, the only thing I was in my third year. I didn't go back to get my degree.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd gone back to get my degree, I wasn't too successful in the Yankee chain. Things were too tough there. You know?
Yeah.
Everything was pretty well set up. So I was getting pretty disgusted. I had my degree, and I'd probably wound up working at Kodak. So in order to progress and have a halfway decent job at Kodak, you needed your degree, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if I'd had a degree, I would have quit.
Oh, yeah. That's surprising. Because in the Yankees, you could get buried with all the talent they had. Looking at your record, Binghamton in 1947, you pitched 8 innings a game.
I had a good year. They moved me along. That was only my second year, you know?
Yeah.
And they moved me along because I was a little older, and I went up to Newark and I think I won one and lost four, but I had good stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I always went to spring training with the Yankees, but and money was a problem, you know. I started having a family, and the Yankees was the cheapest outfit I've ever worked
for. No kidding.
You know, I was 4-1, I think, at Newark 1 year the next year. And went in to ask for a little bit of a raise, $1,500 a month. They wouldn't even give me anything, so.
And they had to be making more money than all the other teams.
Right, then 1 year at another, at Syracuse and I won the 20 ball games, I signed with them. The Yankees sold me there. The Yankees were always trying to sell me. And that year I went to, well, I won 13 or 14 with Syracuse in 51, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Still belonged to the Yankees. Went to spring training with the Yankees, all right? But they only wanted to sell me. So the Phillies wanted me. Eddie Sawyer had seen me pitch when he was with Utica in the Eastern League.
Mm-hmm.
And Roberts and I pitched against one another, and I didn't have anything. I got bombed. I could never pitch in spring training anyway. I couldn't. Tough for me to make a ball club. So they wanted to send me back to Kansas City. I said, stick it. And I was supposed to go over and pitch batting practice for the Yankees. They were playing in Detroit, and then they were going to send me to Kansas City, who trained in Lake Wales. Well, I wouldn't even pitch batting practice. So they got pretty perturbed at me and sold me to Syracuse. That's the best thing I ever did.
So you were Syracuse property. You weren't
right.
The
second year. So when I signed with Syracuse, I wasn't too happy the amount of money they offered me after winning 13 games the year before.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I go out and have a good year, will you give me more money? They said, sure. I won 20 ball games and lost 11, had 7 shutouts, and I had, I don't know, out of 32 starts, I think I completed 27 ball games. They wouldn't give me any money.
Wow.
And another, he was the guy that was general manager. There was another Yankee business. A guy by the name of Gene Martin.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the Yankees, they were a lousy organization. Cheap.
Well, the White Sox generous.
A little more, but they weren't too good either. You know, when my first year, I think I was 7-5, I had a pretty good rookie year, and
yeah,
I was playing for the minimum. If you were with the Red Sox or even the Cubs, if you made the ball club, you got $15,000.
The minimum back then was what, 65?
$6,500.
Yeah. Wow.
They wouldn't even give me the $15,000, you know. I didn't get that till I had a winning year.
what was your top major league salary?
16.
Wow. And that's a far cry from today, isn't it?
Well, Pierce was on with White Sox. He's making about 40, and so was Nellie Fox.
Mm. Well, they'd be, what, $2.5 million today?
Right.
Isn't that something?
They sure would be. I might even be making a pretty good salary.
If a 16-game winner can write his own ticket.
Get $500,000, probably.
Anyhow.
Right.
Wow. Well, Bob,
the way you got the big money in those days, you had to put 2 or 3 good years together.
I remember a story years ago when I was a kid. Eno Slaughter had, I don't remember the exact statistics, but he'd driven in something like 95 runs and batted 290, and they gave him a $5,000 cut because the previous year he'd driven in 100 runs and batted 320 or something.
Yeah, these guys make $2 million, and if they have what they consider a pretty good year and hit even under 300, they want to raise.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting $2 million, you ought to hit over 300.
You ought to do a whole lot for $2 million.
For sure.
No, I think they're asking for if they promise to show up every day.
Right.
I guess more power to them if they can get it. I guess let them get it.
But, right. Yeah.
It's amazing.
So hopefully they're going to take care of us in the pension fund here. I'm still sitting around sweating that out a little.
When are they going to? I thought they would have reached a decision by this point.
I haven't heard anything. Wynn, I had a letter from Wynn, and we're supposed to get a substantial increase, but haven't heard anything yet. I would assume it's going to be in the next month because usually in June, they update the pension depending on the profits they've made from their investments that Equitable has made. So you either get an 8% or 9% increase or a couple of years, I think, they were on the minus side in profits, so it went down a little bit. But so I think that's when they're going to tie it all in with that.
I understand.
We're supposed to get a substantial increase, so Wynn told me, and he had talked to Don, what's his name, Fear, the union rep. So, but there's all kinds of stories. They're really going to give us the big money, but who knows?
I've heard a lot of the guys, the present players, are fighting giving you guys more money.
Oh, and you always have that.
Well, these guys today, right now, their pension, they're not going to have to lift a finger when they retire. Even if they don't get a pension with what they're getting in salary.
That's right. They don't need a pension. They're going to have to set up their own, you know.
I talked to, well, you remember Carl Scheib? He pitched for Philadelphia.
Who?
Carl Scheib.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him a little while back. He said he'd play today just for the pension plan, to heck with the salary.
Well, you know, he's another guy. He didn't make big money.
No, I think his tops, what did he tell me his tops was? 13,000, I think he said.
Jeez, I figured he made more than that. But anyway.
No, well, he was about through by the time, you know, about 53, 54. I think that's what he said. I don't remember. It's been a while back. But it's just amazing. I tell my son that when I was a kid, the ball players were making $6,000 and $8,000 a year. He can't believe that.
Right. Well, I don't know why they don't want to go back and give us. They're going to give us something, but how much? Who the heck knows? They've talked about tripling. The pension fund, but they're not going to give it to us. They always say, what did we do to get the union?
Well, you guys started it.
Well, we started it, but that doesn't mean anything to them.
Right.
They went on strike and everything else to get all these goodies, so that's the hang-up.
Yeah, that's a shame. I hope you get it.
So we'll see. Well, we're going to get something, but how much, you know.
Yeah, well, I hope it's worthwhile, whatever.
I hope so, too, because I got some things I would like to do if it's increased enough. You know, if it's $100 a month, I don't say forget it, I'll take it, but that's not going to help me that much.
No, well, every little bit, I guess, contributes.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it should be. A friend of mine, I don't know if you ever came across him, Gene Thompson. Gene retired back in the late 40s.
Familiar.
He pitched for Cincinnati and for the Giants from about 39 to maybe 47.
Uh-huh.
And he's a Giant scout, and I was up in Arizona. And Gene gets almost bitter when he starts talking about it. He was one of the guys that was in the original formation.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, of the pension. And he says that he and the other guys that formed it are just absolutely being shafted now.
Right.
And that's a shame.
Right.
Well, Bob, I really appreciate your time. And I've enjoyed it because, like,
okay,
I said,
Brent.
When I was a kid, I had all the Bob Keegan cars. You were one of my favorites, and I used to look every day to see when you pitched and see what you did the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate your time. Would you like a copy of this when it's printed?
Yeah.
Okay, is there...
Just to see what it's, you know.
Okay, usually, I don't know when it'll be printed, and I send it in, sometimes it's a month or 6 weeks, and sometimes it's 4 months. Pardon?
Just send me a copy of it.
Okay, would you write...
I'll put it in my scrapbook.
Okay, would you write more than one by any chance for family or something?
Yeah, send me a couple, that'll be good, or I can always get copies printed up.
Okay, well, we'll send a couple.
Pardon?
We'll send a couple when it's printed, and thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, Bob.
Good luck to you, Ben.
Thank you.
Now, how's business?
This time of year, it's great.
Good.
When the fall comes, I'm unemployed, but right now, it's great.
So what do you do, take care of your vet for horses and whatnot?
Yes, sir. Just
racing horses?
Just horses, well, breeding horses. They,
okay.
You know, the babies end up going to the racetrack, but you know, we work with the mares, getting them in foal.
Who's going to win the Preakness?
I don't know how they're going to stop unbridled.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bet your life savings on my word.
Oh, hey, I'm not a gambler. My wife, when I go to the races, I let my wife look at the score sheet, and she usually pick a horse to show her something.
That's good and safe.
No, I've never been a big gambler.
I just heard...
I'm not like Pete Rose.
Oh, well, that's another story. Here I'm here in Lexington. We're about 60, 70 miles from Cincinnati, so I guess the Reds are the home team. It's just amazing when you hear a lot more stories about him here, I guess, than you do up there. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. The guy had the wool by the tail.
I used to have a friend of mine who was around at Lexington. He was a minister. Are you a churchgoer?
Not as often as my wife, but I do go, yes, sir.
His name was Stu Silver.
Stu Silver. No, what church?
I think he was Baptist.
Okay, no, we're Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
He was down in that area. He's originally from Rochester, but moved to that area. Went to school and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the name of the school he went to.
Is he still around here?
As far as I know, I think he is, yeah.
Okay, no. I have some Baptist friends. I'll ask Stu Silver.
Stu Silver.
Yeah, all that stuff. But, well, I guess Baptist
is... He may not have been right in Lexington, but he's around the, you know, the Louisville... that area,
uh-huh.
and up towards, I think he was on the other side of the river or something, towards Cincinnati, somewhere in that general vicinity.
That's a small area. This is not populated like you guys are up there.
Well, we're not, well, everybody thinks of Rochester as like New York City, but we're a long ways from there.
Yeah, it's a good-sized city, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in the county, we've got over a million people, you know.
Yeah.
Rochester, like all cities, the population has declined. I think it was about 350. It's probably around 300,000 now.
And you got to...
Suburbs here that are...
Then you got to measure the whole metropolitan area,
I
guess.
In a suburb, it's 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's big...
Not part of the city of Rochester.
That's big compared to us.
Right.
Well, Lexington's probably 300,000,
uh-huh.
but the whole metropolitan area is probably not, but maybe 360,000.
Oh, okay.
Slot farming.
Closer to a million. Okay, Brett.
Well, Bob, thank you very much. Okay. I do appreciate it. Well, as soon as this is published, pardon me?
I said I'll look for the story. You're...
As soon as it's published, we'll get it to you sometime this summer.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Good
Bye.
Luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye.